Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, Charlotte Christian Fellowship, New Beginnings. We welcome everybody who's been here before, and we welcome everybody who has not been here. And we ask everybody to remember this is a live broadcast. And because it's live, when I open up the mic, I'd like you to remember that. Because if you have something to say, please feel free to share what the Lord is sharing with you. And then mute yourself back, because we don't want to hear any background noise when someone else is speaking. We want to thank everybody for joining us, and we want to remind everybody that we do have, this is a live broadcast again, and we want everybody to remember that every Wednesday night we meet here, and we have a live broadcast, and we share the Word of God. It's called New Beginnings because each breath we take is really a new beginning. And the new beginning is that God gives us grace and mercy. That's what it's about. When we get that grace and mercy, it's your new beginning. I want everybody to remember also that on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, my wife has a broadcast that comes on, and it's called Life's Uncertain Journey. And to join that broadcast, you need to dial in 929-477-3427. Again, that's Life's Uncertain Journey. My wife talks about that just like after you take your first breath, that from that time on, it's your journey. That day is, every day is a journey, but we don't know what it is, so it's life's uncertain journey. But remember, the Bible says that our steps are ordered by the Lord, but you don't know what they are. So therefore, we be pressed towards that mark, and so as we begin to walk our lives out, we got a new beginning, and that new beginning is life's uncertain journey. But we know one thing, that this is a good thing the Lord says, this: we win. So I want to mention a couple of things to you guys tonight concerning what the Lord has given me, then share it with me concerning what's going on, and as far as today's time related to the past times. And today I was talking with, last night and this morning I was talking with the Holy Spirit. He gave me something to share tonight. He said, the time has surely come, the Lord says, when he sends a famine to the land. Now we know what famine means, but this famine is not for bread or water, but hearing the words of the Lord. So the Lord said he's going to send a famine. You know, so that means that you're not going to draw near to him anymore. You're not going to be able to reach the Lord anymore. But when that happens, remember, he's warning us now. This scripture is being fulfilled today. When people would rather hear a false gospel rather than hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And by that, I simply mean is you got all these churches today, they're marrying people who are same-sex married. You got people who are saying it's okay to kill babies. You got people that's coming against the leadership of the world. You got wars and rumors of wars. All these things are happening today. And like I was telling some of the brothers and sisters the other day, that you actually are people going to the Supreme Court to actually overturn what Jesus said to do in the Bible. So these things are happening now, and see, it's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to hear from the Lord. Tonight, Book and I have invited everybody to join us and stuff and to participate. But these are the last days. Jesus sees and knows hypocrites. Now, first thing we want to do is break down what is a hypocrite. A hypocrite is somebody that says one thing and does something different. Okay? And he's a liar. Okay? Basically, I'm doing generic meaning that a hypocrite is a liar. Okay? They always try to trap us. They try to trap Jesus. They're going to try to trap us too. In other words, with the Word of God. The first one that did it was trying to trap the Lord was the devil. If you remember, when Jesus first was baptized, he took him up on the mountain and he tried to deceive him with the Word of God. So we know that he was talking the Word of God, and then he was trying to trick the Lord with the Word. That's a hypocrite. So we know what's going on, and that same thing happens today. We find people today that actually saying they know the Lord and believe in the Lord and walk with the Lord, but they're not, because they're saying one thing and doing something different. I want to see my brother Booker's online. Hey, Booker, that's you.
Yes, sir. It is us. Thank you.
Amen. Well, welcome aboard. We just opened up the door. I'm sharing a little bit of the word with the brothers and sisters. And I'll continue on, and then you can open up with prayer here. To
yes,
stop,
sir.
Confusion. What Jesus said. He said, and because of such a confusion about what God says versus what man says, and I mean the laws and stuff like that, Jesus said it's real simple. This is what you do. He said, give unto man what belongs to man, and give to God what belongs to God. That's real simple. And I said, what belongs to God? Really, everything belongs to God. But when Jesus said that, he said it back in Matthew, he was talking about because they had taxes to pay and those things like that. And so he said, well, give me a coin. And he took a coin and looked at it and said, well, whose name on this coin? He said, Caesar. Well, give to Caesar what Caesar? That's the M-O-N-E-Y. And what's the Lord? We are the Lord. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to the Lord what is the Lord. This subject amazes hypocrites. Okay, this subject amazes hypocrites. How a form of religion who have a form of religion but no really true follow the Lord. And we found a lot of those people inside of churches today. They say they follow the Lord and they do all the things that say that the Bible says to do. But the Lord says about those people, so you're clean on the outside, but your inside is filthy and nasty. But that doesn't simply mean the accepted things that the Lord said don't accept in the churches. Okay, like I say, same-sex marriage, same-sex relationship, fornication, premarital sex, those things, and abortion and stuff, those things are accepted in the churches, stuff like this. And the church is condoning a lot of those things where people coming against the leadership. Those things are being condoned, and you actually have pastors and talking about, come on, we're going to go ahead and picket, and we're going to go ahead and protest. Well, look in the Bible. Everything that we do, we got to follow the word of God. There was not one time when Jesus did a protest. There was not one time when he did a picketing. So he gave the word, and that was it, and let them who hear, let them hear. Those who didn't hear, they didn't hear, period. Simple as that. So, but we want to change the things to make our way. And the reason the Bible says we be arguing and fussing with each other is because we're going our own way. And the same thing going on with our picketing and protesting. We want our way. Instead of going to the one who can change the heart of kings, which is God, we go on ahead and thinking in our own strength that we can change somebody who God has put in place. So we really battle against God. Okay? Don't let anyone mislead us with this new false gospel. Many will come in Jesus' name claiming that they're sent by him or even that they are Jesus. They'll deceive many people. You got a lot of people today. I was talking to some of my children the other day, and they were talking about some people inside the churches, and I've seen it too, where they follow the pastor, not the word of God. Well, people say, well, you belong to us, you'll follow what the pastor do. No, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, and that just simply means that we're supposed to follow Christ in everything that we do. And if we're following Christ, then we'll find out that the things that we are doing, that it is lined up with his word. So when we pray, we talk to him, we're praying in accordance to his will. And Christ tells us anything we ask for in accordance to his will and in his name, that he will do it. People don't understand what that simple subject says, and according to his will. Jesus had a will also. Jesus said, and the cup he said, Father, if anywhere at all, not my will be done, but your will be done. And so when he's talking about the cup, he's talking about the cup that he had to drink in order for us to be saved. He took the situation. That was the situation he was referring to, the situation he's about to go to the cross. He says, anywhere at all, that I don't have to go here, then make it possible. We said, but not my will. So Jesus had a will. We have a will. That's a free will. That free will is that free will, meaning our soul. You see, and our flesh wars with the spirit. So our soul is what this whole battle is about. So with the will, if we are praying according to God's will, his will be done. But a lot of us are praying according to our will, and we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. And not saying that they don't be answered at a later time, but I'm saying a lot of our prayers are not being answered because we're asking in vain, because sometimes we ask and not praying according to his will, and sometimes we don't believe that he exists. But we're just really praying and just saying, well, just in case you don't ask my prayer, I'll do this over here, I'll do that over here, like a backup plan. And there's no such thing. Okay, we're making, the Bible says, our own cistern. But the thing is, when God says something, God's word is true. And believe when he says that all things, no matter what situation we get into, all things work together for those who are in Christ Jesus. And they think, people try to use that, and they don't say the whole thing, but you got to be in accordance to his will when you say all things work together in accordance to his will. His good happen. His, it'll be that. Because it's for him that everything works together. We don't work together for, you know, for our benefit, but for his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. So when we talk about the will of man, we have a free will. But do we want to surrender our will, like Christ did, to do his will? Okay? Again, let's help a little. Today, we hear of wars and rumors of wars. These things must take place, but the end is not immediately coming. So the Bible tells us, even those things we're hearing today, about the wars and rumors of wars, those things can happen, kings against kings, nations against nations, they're happening now. It's not down the road. We're talking about this time, right now, where we're living. We're talking about famine. We're talking about sickness. We're talking about disease. One day I was talking to somebody, and the Lord had given me this message. The common cold, we have no effect. We have no remedy for it. We have some cures, not cures, but we have some things that ease the cold, but it doesn't go away. It comes back. That happened across the world. The common cold has no remedy, no medicine, anything to cure the common cold. If it was, we wouldn't keep getting common cold. So we didn't listen then, and later on this thing called the flu came. The flu was the next level up than the common cold. The flu is something that they still have no cure for either. And this flu comes back every year because the doctor continues, get your flu shot. Why? Because you still catch the flu, and it's a deadly disease. But man still won't listen. So now God has set a pandemic. And you hear people saying, well, I'm cured for the pandemic. The Lord heals. That's his nature to heal. But the Lord is saying across the world, across the whole world, I'm sending this for you to humble yourself and turn to me, and I will heal your land. But the thing is, we still won't humble ourselves to the Lord and recognize that he's in control. So instead, what we're doing, we're trying to make medicines instead of humbling ourselves and turning to the Lord and praying and repenting. And repenting, me and my wife were talking earlier today, repentance is not asking for forgiveness. Repentance is actually forgiveness, but not saying I'm sorry. I'm sorry means that, you know, I'm sorry today, but tomorrow it's like a 360. Tomorrow I'll do the same thing again. Okay? Repentance is turn 180, and then it's not just turning, then going the other way. And we used to still get a job and give back. See, when we repent, we actually have a change of heart. We don't want to continue in that same manner as we've been doing. But most of us, we say we're sorry, and we don't repent. There are earthquakes today. We know about those. They're all over the world, okay? But this is only the first of the birth pain, and there's more to come. What does that mean? We don't know. We didn't know this pandemic was coming. That's why the Bible says there's more to come, because we will not repent. When these things begin to happen, watch out. We will be hated. We'll be handed over to the local police. And what I'm saying is that you see that happen today. When you go to the church and rebel against same-sex marriage or something like that inside the church, they'll put you out. Okay? And can be arrested for telling somebody, well, you know, this is against God. But the thing is, the Lord says these things will happen. But look here, when people will go to Supreme Court to change the laws to make sure that the word of God will not be fulfilled. And that's what's happening today. You have that going on today. Enforcement of we're going to kill these babies, we're going to have sex out of marriage, and we're going to have fornication in the homes. And these things are happening in our homes where you actually have parents and kids coming against them. They said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. It is happening. But guess what? When we get these are opportunities, the Bible says, for us to share the gospel. When these things happen, don't get angry. because this is an opportunity for us to share the good news. And don't worry about what to say at that time, because it won't be us saying anything. It'll be the Holy Spirit in us sharing the word of God. The Bible says there'll be family members and we'll come against family members because of Christ. This is nothing new either. Let's go back to the Old Testament. We're reading in Genesis now where we had one mother who loved one son and the father loved the other son. We're talking about Esau and Jacob. Okay? The Bible actually said God blessed Jacob, but he did not bless Esau. Last week we discussed about the potter. The potter has the right to make a clay jar out of one piece of clay and throw the rest of the clay inside of the trash. So that's God's business. So when we talk about, well, inside the household, you're going to have brother and sister against the other, parents against the children, that's all about the word of God, because a lot of times we can, that's what the Bible tells us, raise a child in the way he would grow and it won't depart from him. Well, most of us, we don't know it ourselves, so why are we going to raise our child with the word of God when we don't do it ourselves? One thing I grew up with, I know my family, I don't know what everybody else's family, but one thing was always said to my family was, don't do what I do what I say to. Well, those things, you know, it really, you know, it doesn't make any sense really. But that was what's passed down to them, was passed down to us. Don't do what I do what I tell you to. Okay? And so those things are meant as a term of endearment and love, but the thing is, though, it didn't make any sense, because what they were doing is most time we follow what they do, not what they say. That's how it is. I mean, and because of that, they look, when we grow up, what happens, they're looking in the mirror at themselves and we argue with the parents. We're arguing because that's how we were brought up. They tell us to do one thing, but they said something else, and we're acting exactly what they did instead of what they said. So now they're looking in the mirror. And many kids today grow up, and that's why you have them going to drugs, and there's people with illicit sex, and the mother been married two or three times, the dad been married two or three times, or the girlfriend on the side, or you know, too many uncles coming through the house, and those type of things you grow up with. And so when we grow up with those type of things, then what is the curse? That's the generational curse. But Christ has come to break the generational curse. That's what he's here for. And the thing is, we know God, we know our Lord Jesus as our forgiver. We know him because he will forgive our sins. That's what the Lord says. But do you know him as a Savior? Save us from sinning. God so loved the world. He sent Jesus to save us from sinning. But we go past that and say, well, he'll forgive me. Well, the Bible, we just told you, we just read about it earlier, seeking wise near, because there's going to come a time when you can't find the Lord. Isaiah, okay, the next one I'm going to get. The world will hate us because we're Jesus' living disciples. But don't worry about it. Like I say, these things are going to happen. It's normal. And because it's normal, we're his representatives. And if we're his representatives, they hated Jesus, what makes you think they're going to love us? That's simple as that. And because we're going to be hated, the Lord is, if you remember what Jesus said, when he leaves, he's going to send us a comforter. That comforter is for us, the spiritual gifts in there, okay? Patience, long suffering, stuff. Don't judge me for that time, okay? Because people hate us. Remember, we used to be like that too, okay? But God brought us to that doctrine to his marvelous life. So that grace that he gave us and that mercy he gave us, we're supposed to give it to others. So how will they see Christ? They'll see Christ through us. So when people see us, they will see us in Christ and Christ in us. So therefore, we don't turn evil for evil. But because a lot of us stay babies and stay infants, don't grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God, we're destroyed by the lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge means then we got into this, to walk with Christ and become a disciple, but we didn't wear the cross. What's the cost? To be humiliated, just like Christ was. We put out shame, low down, and everything else. But he didn't open his mouth. But will you open your mouth? Not our will be done, but his will be done. So, brothers and sisters, I want to welcome everybody tonight again. I want to let everybody know that to pay attention. When Christ comes back, the word says this, and it says a different way inside the Bible, and I'm just putting it to today's form. He says, if a man on the roof working, don't go downstairs in the house to get something, get your coat and stuff like that. Or if you're out there shopping, don't try to get back home. Okay, this particular today is making a terrible It's really terrible, and especially for pregnant women. Because men don't think about that part, but the Bible do, the Word of God does. So just remember, pray for everybody, because there's a great, great problem going on today, and it's never been never like this since God created the world. This is something that's terrible going on today, and the Lord said it's going to happen, but now it's here. Unless God shortens this time, unless He shortens this time, this calamity, this we will be wiped out. But because of us, His chosen children, He's going to shorten this time. So don't be deceived. If anyone tells us the Lord is coming, Lord over here, Lord over there, don't believe them. Some people are going to say they're Jesus. Some people are actually going to say they're Jesus. The false Messiah and the false prophets, they're going to rise up. They're going to be right in the midst of us, y'all. They're going to be telling the lie, the false gospel about it's okay to do this and okay to do that. But let me tell you this. Don't listen to them. Don't do it, okay? This is the warning that I've given everybody, the Word of God. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, everybody will see the Son of God when He cracks the sky. Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome everybody again tonight. And Brother Booker, will you pray us in?
Yes, thanks so much, brother. Father, we thank you for this broadcast here tonight, Lord God. We ask that you be with us, guide us, lead us, Lord God, in your word. I pray that you will have conversation with our hearts and our minds, our souls, Lord God. Father God, as you allow the Holy Spirit to be with us and teach and guide us tonight, let us not only observe, but let us become doers of the word, Lord. Father God, I pray and I thank you for loving us right where we are, Lord God. You love us first. Father, I thank you for my brother John and Nadine for being obedient with this Block Talk radio broadcast, Lord God. I pray that you will continue blessings in their lives, Lord God. Father God, continue to lead them and guide them as well, Father. Father God, with every listener that's listening here tonight, whether the ones that are listening by telephone or ones that are listening through the internet service, Lord God, we thank you for that provision. And we ask that you meet and reach each and every one that are listening in, Lord God. And I pray that as we pray unto you, Lord God, that our prayer does not go unheard of, nor come by void, that you will allow your word to penetrate each and every household that's represented, Lord God. I pray that you continue to love them unconditional, Lord God, and that with your love that you have for us, your comfort, that we have confidence in your word, Lord God, that we become who you say that we are, that our will and our purpose will line up with yours, Lord God. Father God, we thank you again for being with us tonight. Father, your grace, your mercy is sufficient in all areas of our lives, Lord God. We ask you for forgiveness for not being the perfect, the right children that we should be. But please bless our efforts, Lord God, for trying to get our lives straight and right through you, Father. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord God, who you have given us, Lord God. We thank you for him, Lord God, and you know we just could not live without you, Lord. This world will be in more turmoil than we can even imagine. And because you withhold your strains, Lord God, you hold back because of your love and your kindness for your people. And I thank you in Jesus' name for that. Now, Father, again, as we pursue tonight your word, I pray that it do not fall on deaf ear, that it falls on attentive ear and attentive heart and absorb your word that you have just for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Brother, sister, those who are listening on the web tonight, if you want to join in and share with us what the Lord has given you to share with us, remember, Book and I are not the answer man. We serve to the Lord. We go through the same issues everybody else do, and we fight the good fight of faith like everybody else do. But if you want to join our conversation tonight, you have to call in at 657-383-1624. Again, that's 657-383-1624. Tonight, we're talking about, and we're writing down on Genesis. But I want you guys to remember something, if you can. I did a research myself, and I want you guys to go back. I'll probably be sending out a day or two about Jacob's sons when they were born, the 12 sons. And their mothers, if you look at what they called them then, the beautiful names that, you know, that God will remember me now, and, you know, and God will love me now, and he will love, things that related to uplifting and those things that encouraging. But when Jacob, at the end now, when they're about to die, when he says that life's uncertain journey, that's why when we talk about the new beginning, each of them had a new beginning, but that life was a certain journey. Now when daddy's leaving, their journey's going on, but the daddy's leaving, and he blessed them. Booker mentioned last week, he blessed them. He didn't put them out. He blessed them. But how he talks about them, you know, how he blessed them, he identified their characteristics, who they were, what he's seen in his own sons. And those characteristics and stuff, and we can point fingers all we want. But remember what the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun? Which one of the characteristics of those kids do we have? Which one? Do we slander our brothers and sisters? Do we connive? Do we lie? Do we steal? That's just in the house. That was in their household. Now, many of us go through that, and the reason the repentance wasn't there, even to the end, as the book of read it, and you'll find out they never repented. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because when the Bible says inside of the book of Revelations that those are the 12 tribes that's going to be, you know, up to in heaven. But the things they did to their brother, sold him, okay, you know, all the things they did to him, beat him, lied on him, and stuff like that, threw him inside of a pit. Okay, all these things. They didn't drop him. They threw him in a pit. The Bible tells you what he said. Okay? Snake pit. But the thing is, God was with him all the time. See? And I say this to you, too. Joseph wasn't no angel. Joseph, he was daddy's pet. Just like Jacob. His daddy was daddy's pet, his mama's pet. You see what happens when these things happen, when division comes in. So we're talking now, when we're talking about one man's ending and another man's beginning. But what God showed us in the book of Genesis, well, from nothing, from absolutely nothing, he said, let it be, and it was. And let it be, and it became. Let it be, and that was. So we're talking about what God does when the spoken word. And we are little gods. But those things are not actually the reason why, because our will are not his will. So if you listen tonight, and Brother Booker bring the word to us, and we pray that the Lord to continue to use him, and that the word will pierce our hearts, that we would remember that we ain't got it going on like that either. You know, it's all about Jesus. We're going through things. How many of us testify and tell about the problems we're going through? And that we're in the battle. How many of us tell somebody else so they can be encouraged and don't look at us as we're on some type of a pedestal and stuff like that? And see, that's what, and if you look what Joseph did, and we'll break it down a little bit more, Joseph, he held against it because he said, look, the Lord did this. He realized the Lord was in charge. Is the Lord in charge in your life? Or do you still have animosity for somebody did to you? There's no animosity in heaven. When you die, you can't forgive. You got to forgive now. That's why this thing's going on now in this earth. The Lord Jesus on the cross said this. When we take his will and say, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. We are in a mix of a teaching that the Lord is sharing. And it's going into the homes like it did before, like it was way back when he was sharing the word of God. That's what's going on, y'all. That's why we have the new beginning and we have life in a certain journey. For those who can reach it in the house. From the pulpit, it's very good, and it's like Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. But when he said it on the Mount, that was for people, for the congregation to hear. See, because when it started off, he said he brought his disciples to him, and he told them to sit down. Those people heard what he said. So therefore, now we're hearing the same word. What are we going to do with the word of God that we hear? What are we going to do with it? Is it going to go in one ear and out the other ear? Are we going to be the Pharisees, the hypocrites? Are we going to humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and turn to the Lord? Brother Booker, let the Lord lead you. Are you still there, Brother Book? Hello? I might have dropped my Brother Booker here. I see his phone still on. But let me... Hello? Yeah. Our Brother Booker's phone, I see his phone is on, but he's not coming on. But let me share a little bit of something with you. Joseph, he's going to log back in. I see he's seen it. Okay. So Brother Booker will be back on in a second, everybody. But remember something, too. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing all new under the sun. I see some other people that ended up getting dropped too off the thing, so I apologize about the system, but that's okay. Call back in if you would, please. And anytime it shows up, we'll go ahead and turn the max on again, okay? But the phone, I see this, the computer is dropping numbers, I mean phone calls, so I can't do anything about that. Last week we had another difficulty, and this week at least is on, but it's still dropping. So we'll wait for a second here. But again, I want to share with you guys about what's going on inside of Jacob's life, because the same thing that happened in his life is happening today. That's why the word is saying that let's not be deceived by these people who are saying themselves that they come from the Lord. Let's not be deceived, because the brothers, when they finally went to Joseph, they still wasn't praising and lifting up the Lord. They were trying to, save themselves. Because one of them said, oh, Lord. And because they were afraid when they found that the man who was in charge was their brother they had beaten and thrown into a snake pit and sold. So that when you find out those type of things, that you've been inside the heat and in the fire, remember, excuse me, did you text Booker? Okay. Because he still hasn't come back on yet. So, but we're just going to keep on going. Let me share some more stuff with you guys. Whenever we in a situation and we find ourselves, in a dilemma, we have a choice. In the book of Romans, that's one of my favorite books, which actually says that whenever you find ourselves in a situation that is not to your pleasing, pray to the Lord, you know. And remember, God will turn his head, and he does turn people over to what he called a mind that is totally dead to him. I forget how the word is pronounced.
Reprobate
mind. Thank you. And that means then simply that the person refuses to turn to the Lord. So the Lord says, fine, do what you want to do, you know. And when you have that type of situation going on where the person, Lord, just turned them over, that simply means that now you're on your own. And that's something that we definitely don't want to be on our own. We want the Lord. But remember, when you see a person going through that situation, pray for that person, because that person needs help also. Remember where we were so many years ago when we were, trying to do our own thing. What happened? The Lord didn't throw us in the ditch. He stayed with us. And as he stayed with us, we found out that the Lord saved us and brought us out of that situation. I see Brother Booker's back on. Are you there, Brother Book? Hello? I see you logged in, and I got the mic on, but is your sound on? Okay, well, I still can't hear you, brother. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
What was? Muted.
Are you muted yourself? Check yourself out, Book. Are you muted? Because I hear you now. Book. Hello? Hello? I heard you for a second. I don't know what happened. You must be muted on your side, Book, because I can't hear you on this side. Can't hear you. Nate, could you call in and see if you're working on their side? Okay, you want the number? Okay. Well, we're going to keep on pressing on. Brother Book, I'm praying that you'll be able to get on here. Your number's here, but there's nothing coming through. Nate is calling in and see if it works on that side. We'll find out in a second. But, Book, I hear you. I hear you, but I can't hear what you're saying. I hear you walking around, but I can't hear you. Hello? I'm very sorry, everybody, that we can't hear our brother. I know he got a word to share with us, but he's not coming through. Lady, did you dial in? Your number's not coming up either. So we're having problems again. We're having difficulty problems again. My prayer is, I hear you tapping. I hear you tap dancing. Yeah. Book. Hello. This is the host number. So, but did you call in?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't work. Something's going on. He was on a second ago. Let me see something here. I'm going to try one thing, everybody, and then come back with everybody, okay? So this works. Hello? Nope. Okay, everybody, let me continue on, okay? Because I can't get my brother booking. Okay. Booker, you can call in on Nadine's phone like you did last week, and maybe we can do it that way again, bro.
Yeah, tell me.
If you'd like to do that, you can call Nadine's phone, and we can do like we did last week. Okay? But anyway, everybody, I want everybody to know that this is nothing unusual. So we want to just share the word of God the best that we possibly can, and these technical difficulties, they're going to happen. We can't do anything about it. But let me read a little bit what the word says. Joseph fell upon his father's face. Okay? We're reading from Genesis 50, okay, to, verse 1, the New Living Translation. It says, Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph ordered his servants to, mummify him, mummify his father. In other words, his dad had died, okay, at this time. And his dad had told him once he died what to do with him. And he didn't want him to leave him. He wanted to be buried where his dad was buried and his granddad was buried, okay? And so that's what we're talking about now. And Joseph loved his dad, and now they're mummifying him so he could take his father back to be buried. So the physicians and the Israelites, they did what Joseph said to do. Now, 40 days were required for this. So for them to do, okay,
right.
You got it on.
It was like
Book.
40 days were required for this. So for them to do.
Okay. I don't understand what's going on. Brother, sister, I'm going to hang up for a second and come right back on again. So now it's coming back at feedback. Okay? Let me hang up and come back. Hello? Is Booker there? Is that? Okay. I'm trying to.
Okay, so you get feedback from your.
I'm going to.
Yes.
Okay. I'll turn off Booker's thing. Okay. Now, Booker want to hang up and call back in. Maybe it'll work.
Yes. He said he's going to mute it. He's on his computer.
Oh, Booker is?
That's what he said.
Okay. We're going to try again. We're going to continue on. And we were talking about jokes.
Okay. We can't hear you.
So when he's on your phone, let me just take his phone.
So
I want to
put. Okay.
What book
is that? He said he can hear us, but we can't hear him.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we just contact Booker on another line, so he's going to hang up on there and call right back in. He was on a computer, and that may have been the reason was getting feedback. But we're going to give it a second here, and God willing, it'll be working. But like I say, this is a powerful thing we're doing, and the enemy got to do what he does too. It's just as simple. Don't get angry when you have things. These situations, this is live. This is live, everybody. So even though these situations happen, it's nothing to do with us. These things going to happen. But, excuse me, but God's going to get the glory anyway. And that's what you got to remember. If it's about us, then we get all tight and say, well, oh, man, what? But it's not about us. We're trying to share the word of God. So the devil, he's in charge of the airways. So believe me, he's going to do his best to go ahead and shut us down. But we're sharing the word of God, and we just let y'all guys know. Right now we're talking about how a man loves his daddy. A man in power and authority loves his dad. So he go ahead and say, look, his daddy said, I want to be buried. Well, my daddy was buried. Okay, I hope this book is coming in.
Right now we're talking about how man
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, but I have feedback in the
Hello?
Background. Book.
Okay, yeah, let me turn this computer off.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey.
You good?
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Hey, you're loud and clear. Okay. Brother and sister,
okay.
Book is with us again. Go right ahead, Brother Book.
Yes. For some reason... I don't know. Like you say, brother, I guess the devil's trying to be busy, but.
Oh, he's busy.
Yeah. But yes, I think you was talking about the burial right now. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I was talking about Joseph's dad. The burial, you're exactly right. The burial, when his daddy told him to take him back, and I was top of 51. I mean, top of 50. I just did verse 1 and 2.
Okay, yes. And I think what you was getting at was it was required 40 days, right? Was
right,
the
right.
Customary number of days for the preparation required for the embalming. And the Egyptians wept and grieved for him publicly, mourning as they will for royalty. And this was done for 70 days. And
right.
to see the power and authority that God had given Joseph, again, it was his dad that is passing. But because of who Jacob was, they treated him with royalty to the point that just as in Egyptian custom, they mourned for their people, especially with royalty, for 70 days. And even looking at this, the embalming took 40 days. If we compare that to now, you know, someone passes away, you go get the funeral home within a day, they're already embalmed, and you can have a funeral the next day. But this shows that this was a long process. And
yeah.
Even to have the Egyptians to take part on this burial, right, of the Jewish family, the Israelites, to the point that they honored him and mourned for him 70 days. Really speaks volumes. And then when we get down to verse 4, it says, when the days of weeping and public mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the nobles of the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear an oath, saying, hear me, I am about to die. Bury me in my tomb, which I prepared for myself in the land of Canaan. And I find this kind of interesting, too, to the fact that here it is, the number two man that's in charge in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
He, instead of going directly to Pharaoh, he had to go through his noble people. And they ask on his behalf. And again, because the relationship that Pharaoh had with Joseph and how honored Joseph is, of course, you know, Pharaoh did not speak against it. So, you know, Pharaoh told him, go up, bury your father, as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to Canaan to bury his father. And with him, Pharaoh sent his officials with Joseph, right? The nobles of his court, and the elders of his household, and all the nobles and elders of the land of Egypt went. So we can see from this standpoint, here it is as a young teenage boy where his brothers wanted to kill him, sold him into slavery, went through all kind of adversities in his life, now become the number two man in Egypt, and here it is, he has power and authority that God gave him. There's nothing about Joseph that he's bragging on himself. He's not bragging doses of what he did, how he did things, but what God has done on his behalf. Now, you're talking about having the favor of God. This is clearly the favor of God on not only just on his life, but through the lineage, his Jacob to Joseph. Now the king of Egypt is honoring Jacob through this. So the entire household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household, they left their little ones and their flocks and herds in the land of Goshen, both chariots and horsemen. Also went to Canaan with Joseph, and it was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they mourned there with a great lamentation. This is an expression of mourning for the deceased, and extreme demonstrations of sorrow, according to the Egyptians' customs. So in other words, the Egyptian custom, it wasn't just someone died, you buried, and that was the end of it. The Egyptians made it customary to mourn the dead. So they honored the dead. And so now Joseph observed a 7-day mourning for his father. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning of the threshing floor at Atad. Now check this out. They said, this is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians. They had no clue that it was Joseph mourning his father Jacob, because it was customary for the Egyptians. So all the Egyptians there, they just assumed that it was an Egyptian's funeral things that was going on. So here it is. Therefore, the place was named Abel Mizraim, morning of Egypt in the west of the Jordan. Now, the burial took place at Machpelah, so Jacob's son did for him as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in a cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, which Abraham bought, along with the field as a burial site from Ephron the Hittite. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers, and all who had gone up with him. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph carries a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" Now, before then, they knew that it was their father Jacob, kind of the go-between or the in-between. Now that the father is dead, now they're wondering. They're going back, taking place. Well, guilt is setting, it still is there, but now it's really settling in to the point that now that dad is gone, I wonder if Joseph's going to cause us harm now because of what we did to him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, here's the sovereignty of God. When God places sovereignty in someone's heart, when he has compassion in our hearts, this is what really happens. So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father commanded us before he died, saying, you are to say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong." Now, as you know, this is a lie, but to protect themselves, they're using their dead father as a shield, as their comfort, and hoping that Joseph is not plotting against them for revenge. Mm-hmm. So now here it is. They're saying, "Please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept. And when they spoke to him, then his brothers went and fell down before him in confession. Again, remember the dream when he was a teenage boy, the dream that God had given him, that his brothers mm-hmm. was going to bow before him. It come to pass again. When God has said something, listen, it is in stone. So if God said it, that settles it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Amen.
So here it is. Then his brothers went and fell down before him in confession, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants, your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. Vengeance is his, not mine. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring you about this present outcome, that many people would be kept alive as they are to this day. So now do not be afraid. I will provide for you and support you and your little ones." So he confronted them, giving them encouragement and hope, and spoke with kindness to their hearts. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother John, you was talking about this earlier. This is when you know when you are of God or you are of man. Remember, man mandates his goals are used to build him up, and they're built to tear down. If it was only worshiping man, we've seen it time and time again, even in today, man is going to pay you back. Man is going to get you back. But here it is with God. This goes along with the scriptures that says, if God is for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Clear evidence. God will not leave nor forsake you. And here it is that the brothers feeling that guilt, that revenge is going to be repaid. And here it is, the brother Joseph with compassion in his heart, kindness in his heart, that tells his brothers, listen, don't be afraid. Vengeance isn't mine. It's God. It belongs to God. It always has. And he understands that because he understands his relationship with God. And Brother John was saying that earlier, that's where we need to come to the point that we understand God, that we know that we're living for God. And the things that happen to us, we ought to seek revenge on other people. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? God deal with unrighteousness that actually happens to us. So even in the midst, the encouragement is, listen, I will not only provide for you and your little ones, but this, as long as Joseph is alive, his brothers don't have anything to worry about. So now we look at verse 22, the death of Joseph now. So now Joseph lived in Egypt, he and his father's household, and lived 110 years. And Joseph saw his third generations of Ephraim's children, also the children of Machir and the son of Manasseh, were born and raised on Joseph's knees. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up out of this land to the land which he had promised Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob to give you. And Joseph, sons of Israel, swear an oath saying, God will surely visit you and take care of you, returning you to Canaan. And when that happens, you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So at the end of this chapter 50, we see God's provision, God's kindness, God's loving and caring. His word has held truth from day one to this point. And even looking back on Genesis in this story, we can see the evidence of God still being true to his word today. His word never fails. His word will never leave us, nor will it forsake us. But we have to get to the point that we have that relationship with God. Well, through this, I'll just go ahead and pray us out. I thank God for showing us his love and kindness then, as it is today. And I hope that this proves to us, to you and I, God's love has never changed, past, present, and future. We can always count and trust in God. Even when we don't do what we're supposed to do, we have a loving Father who loves you and I unconditionally, that when we repent of our wrongs, that he's there to welcome us with open arms and still love us to the point that what he has put in place will not change. So, family, I thank you for this night, and I pray God's blessing on you until, you know, if it's God's will for us to meet next week, we will.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless.